you lot. Thank you so much for listening to the Host Podcast. Welcome back. And before we get stuck into this week's episode, I just want to thank our host, get it? Lizzo. So Lizzo launched in 1995, and they've been transforming the skincare category with unique and revolutionary product formats since then. They're amazing. I love them. I'm sure you know already. If you don't know about them yet or want to learn more, then head on over to lizzo.com. And if something catches your eye, you want to do a bit of shopping, of course you do. Put in Laura15 at the checkout for an exclusive 15% discount. Oh, go on, we all like a deal. And that offer is till the 30th of March. Right, on with today's show. Hello, I'm Laura Jackson, broadcaster, interiors fanatic, food lover, and founder of Host. And this is my new podcast. It's a running joke amongst friends that I am forever the host and never the hosted. 27 dresses, anyone? Don't get me wrong, I absolutely love rustling up a modern-day vol au-vent and putting the fizz on ice, but this series, I'm handing over the apron strings instead and inviting some guests spanning food, travel and interiors to host me. Whether it be at their house, their local coffee spot, or even in their favourite hotel room. So join us on the sofa for a cuppa, or in the sitting room, lounge, dining room, bath, whatever you fancy, but obviously with a glass of something alcoholic. And of course, please bring some snacks. If you want to know all about their hosting secrets, dinner party dishes, their little black book for restaurants, their insider holiday spots, or even where they shop for vintage interior finds, basically, if you're a nosy parker like me, this is the podcast for you. Welcome to Hosting Laura Jackson, the Host Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Host Podcast. Today I'm being hosted by husband and wife duo James Lowen and Tamara Herbie-Percy, also known as Mr. and Mrs. Smith. So James and Tamara founded the brand, I think it was 2003, with a little hotel guidebook. And I've seen the brand evolve into a global travel club with a million like-minded members in more than 100 countries. I mean, these two have got to be some of the best travel people on earth, right? So today they're hosting me in one of their favourite hotels in London. It's called the Zeta Townhouse, which is in Marylebone, very posh. And apparently they have got the penthouse today. I'm so excited. I think they'll let me order room service. I hope so. Right, let's see if they're in. Hello!
Hi!
Welcome to the suite.
How are you?
This
is amazing.
Well,
the penthouse.
I know, amazing. It doesn't get much better than this, does it?
Can I sleep here
welcome
tonight?
Welcome to our boudoir.
It's so amazing.
It's a little bit different, isn't it? Yeah.
It's like someone's apartment.
Yes.
It is, yeah. Like stepping into someone's home.
Yes. You wouldn't know from the street what was above, I guess, would you? Which is what I like about it.
We've actually ordered you some room service. Hope you don't mind.
Oh, my God.
Is that all right?
God.
And a couple of treats coming up in
a
minute.
Oh, thank
is
you
that all right?
So much. That's good. So exciting. I'm going to be really northern and probably take some of the leftovers home and have it for my tea.
You can do whatever you like.
Goodie
it's
bags.
All fine.
Goodie
whatever
bags.
You want to do, Laura.
Let's start with what makes a Mr. and Mrs. Smith hotel room, because, I mean, your hotels on your website, I'm sorry, they're the best.
Thank you. What can we say?
We try.
I think we're always looking for, there's so many components to an amazing room. Obviously, stylistically, we want something to wow us, something better than at home. Otherwise, what's the point of leaving home? It can be classic or it can be contemporary, but it has to be tasteful and it has to be considered. And then the other bit that Tam's really into is the sort of functional side of things, aren't you, as well? So, you know, light switches where you can dim the lights and turn it off from your bed rather than having to sort of pole vault over the sofa to turn it off
It has to work frictionless.
Yeah.
So it's not technology for technology's sake, but technology that's kind of blended into the background that makes things easier. So one switch for all the lights, but automatically, you know, nighttime lights come on, those kind of things, where it's just been considered.
Yeah.
Rather than I've got a wall panel of buttons and I don't know what any of them mean.
And then I'm also looking for mini bars full of surprises. I don't want a boring mini bar. That's not good. So I'm always looking for a good mini bar.
What makes a good mini bar?
Well, mini bars that surprise you. So if it's just sort of miniatures of sort of booze and Diet Coke, that's a bit boring.
Right.
So I'm looking for maybe something more spicy or sensual in there. What else are we looking at? Some interesting
condoms in the fridge, James.
Well,
is this
no.
what I mean?
I think we can do better than that. But I think, you know, maybe some ready mixed cocktails would be good as well, rather than just sort of boring gin and tonics or something. Not that a gin and tonic's boring, it can be good. And then maybe some literature in there that might be interesting, you know, some local guides.
I love the local stuff. So I love it when a hotel goes to the effort of co-creating something with a local artisan, whether that's just the soap or the biscuits or something that kind of grounds the hotel in where it is and brings it back to the local area.
And then, of course, it's Mr. and Mrs. Smith, so the bed's got to be bloody amazing. You know, we're talking, it's got to be the most comfortable bed you've ever slept in with the best sheets, because none of us can iron sheets at home. It's impossible. So I want those iron, crisp, amazing Egyptian cotton sheets, or Indian cotton now apparently is the new one. So I want the bed to be pretty special. And then bathroom products, like you said, that's got to be pretty good as well.
Yeah, but it's more than that. In all the kind of local, in the areas where, you know, of the hotel where you can kind of sit, are the covers on the sofas, do they feel nice next to the naked skin, or are they itchy, scratchy? Mm. You know, there's, I think when you walk into a hotel, you're assaulted with all your senses.
Yeah.
It's, can you smell the kitchens, or can you smell a lovely co-created candle scent? You know, what's the music like? Music can really set the mood of a room, and you can get it very, very wrong. And then lighting, and James is...
I spent my life going around places asking him to turn the lighting down or up, and the music up or down as well. So the ambience, that bit you can't put into pictures, is hard. But you're looking for, as you said, that something about it. It's just got that magic, that wow factor. So there's so many things.
And then there's the people, the service. Are you overly attended to? But, or are they just, you know, perfectly friendly?
But there's
not
people in the bedroom. This is only us.
No, we're talking about what makes a Smith Hotel.
Oh, no, I thought you were talking about the bedroom. I thought we were on the bedroom. Okay, cool.
No,
the
question. No, you don't want a lot then. You're not asking for a lot, guys.
We are so demanding. It's amazing. And so, it even lets us in, I can tell you.
We don't ask, so we have teams who go around the world now to find these hotels for us, and we don't give them a checklist. It's about the experience. It's about how the hotel makes you feel. So we train them to actually think with all their senses. What are they feeling as they walk into the hotel? Are they excited to be there? And to try and tune into why that is.
Yeah.
So it's more
but
than
equally,
just...
But equally, we do have to check that the barman can mix a decent martini.
Yeah.
We like bars we can fit two people in. That's good. What else do we like?
Shower needs to get us wet.
Shower definitely
basics,
needs, yeah.
The basics
good
needs
stuff
to
like
be
that.
There.
You know, yeah. There's a lot of things that are functionally important, but also, as Tam said, all about that experience that you can't necessarily put into photos.
A hotel is 1,000 different customer touch points.
Yeah.
And at each touch point, there is a chance to delight and make it frictionless. And there's also the chance to get it very wrong. So, you know, we have the greatest sympathy with hoteliers because the ones who get it right the whole way through are just amazing. And it's very rare.
Well, I mean, you're obviously not called Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I think I, in my mind, thought you would be, like, a long time ago. I thought that would be really romantic. And you founded the brand because you were having bad hotel experiences. What was the worst experience you had?
Oh, my God. Go
so, on. First, on the brand name, so that's a throwback to a quintessentially kind of British folklore, where in a world after post-war, it was still frowned upon to be in a hotel
not
outside.
Not that we're that old and we are post-war, just to be clear. But people can't see it's a podcast. So I want to make sure people don't think we just did this after
these
the
guys, you're like 20, okay, 21, 22.
Oh, you're so nice.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but so it was frowned upon to be in a hotel outside of wedlock. And so Mr. and Mrs. Smith was the pseudonym that people used to sign in the book.
Yeah.
So that people wouldn't know that they were there, but they weren't married. And so this became, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the quintessential British name, became synonymous with a slightly naughty weekend away.
But go on, what was your worst experience?
Okay, it was somewhere in the Lake District. We won't tell you where.
Okay. Oh, let's narrow it down.
We never reveal where. And it was this incredible stately home that we found in a brochure. And of course, I booked it because I was in the wooing phase of our courtship and
failing dismally,
failing miserably. and so we arrived, and it felt more like sort of an OAP home than a sort of VIP boutique hotel. And I'd got this one wrong, and then I'd got a spa hotel wrong, which actually was more of a medical spa rather than an indulgence spa.
But we ended up getting weighed as we walked in.
We were both weighed on a date weekend away.
We were both weighed.
It was hilarious. They took our blood pressure, and mine was excellent, so I was delighted.
This is insane.
I swear to God, this is a true story.
It is a true story.
It was so all I did is look at the brochure that came in the post. This is before social media, just to be clear, okay? This is before emails, probably. I mean, this is before websites really even taken off. People used to send you a brochure. Our spare room was made into this research sort of room of filing systems for brochures. And so you didn't really understand places, and they were obviously all written by the hotel, so they lied. And so, yeah, so when we turned up to this one place, which I thought was a spa weekend, the first thing they did was weigh us and took our blood pressure. Before we went to have our treatments, which I thought was a nice massage, which was more of a sort of remedial sort of therapeutic.
It was more, I don't know what health,
it was weird health.
Like a colonic.
Yeah, it was like wrong health. And then
that would have been.
And then anyway, so I'm squirming, going, oh, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. Anyway, so I said, look, we'll just get drunk at dinner, have a lovely dinner. I'm sure the food's going to be better than all the rest of it, which it wasn't. It was a calorie controlled menu.
And no alcohol.
So everyone's in their white dressing gowns and fluffy slippers. Yeah. Like so we literally escaped.
How are you still together?
Yeah, yeah.
When you think of that era,
yeah.
So there were a lot of fusty country house hotels in the UK who just weren't keeping up. This was the era where Conran, Habitat, Heels were all coming out. People were chucking out the chintz from their houses, modernising, but the hotels were lagging behind a bit. However, there were these pockets, these amazing boutique hotels out there, but they didn't have a voice. And so we just said, look, they've got to be out there somewhere. We got in our car, we raised money to get Mr. and Mrs. Smith off the ground and went out and found this small collection of hotels.
Wouldn't it be brilliant? We could go on permanent holiday as our job. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be the dream.
There you go. So that's what we did. And
do you think the word like boutique has kind of changed over the years? Like it feels a bit like, I feel like boutique could be in those words with influencer and like it's, I don't know why it's a beautiful word, but sometimes it has negative connotations. Do you
know
what I mean?
It's tricky though, but Google understands it and the Google robots understand it. Yeah. And although obviously influencers such as yourself, Laura, have gone beyond boutique now.
Yes, I am a boutique. I don't know what I am.
And beyond the
Google robots aren't quite as stylish and savvy as you, so they still understand boutique. The problem is, yes, everyone's bandying around the boutique sort of word. And that's our job, to sort the wheat from the chaff. And that's what we do and started 20 years ago nearly, and what we still do today.
It sounds kind of like, you know, dreamy or naive, but we're just not in the business of promoting rubbish hotels.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to be like the big faceless companies out there. We are a niche player. We are absolutely bound by our curation and making sure that we only work with the very best, and we don't always get it right, of course, you know.
So obviously you travel a lot for work, but where do you go when you want to go on holiday, and what's the process of that? Is it led by please help?
Oh,
I was literally
going
to say
guests.
Food.
Oh no, I'm joking. Yeah,
that's our room service.
Oh my god, I'm so happy. But like, you led by. I mean, I will travel around the world based on places that I want to eat. So how do you? I know.
Yeah.
I hope my husband isn't listening.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Oh, here. Here oh my god, what have we got? This is so good.
I'm so glad I didn't have any pudding
what
after
is
lunch.
This?
Excellent.
It is a brownie with the strawberry.
Oh my god, excellent. I mean, even the plate's beautiful.
Look at that. Stunning. Thank you.
Oh wow, delish.
Are we sharing or is that mine?
I don't share food.
Oh, okay, me neither.
I'm sorry, James.
Good, just
I'm like Jerry from
it's
Friends.
It's good that we set the ground rules now.
Absolutely. How do you decide?
We start up our own mini list within the list.
Yeah.
Tam and I then, I mean, we've got kids now. So we have a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
And so we have to consult them, of course. Not really. We do a little bit.
We do now, otherwise we get in trouble.
Yeah, we get in trouble.
I read that you took them to a caravan park because they were getting a bit too bougie.
Correct.
They were.
Correct, yeah. We had this one holiday. It's a working holiday, of course.
Yeah.
A workation, or whatever they call it, a holiday.
You must be always seeing holidays.
It's always a holiday. Yeah. Anyway, so we're in Bali on our like fifth or sixth hotel. And it was high season, so all the rooms were booked. So we were upgraded to the 12-bedroom, executive, ridiculous rock star villa.
How awful.
With staff. And, you know, so we're running around going, what the hell are we doing here? This is a bit much for four of us, but thank you very much. So it came with quite a few staff, for everyone from cleaning the pool to your own chef to your waiter. Anyway,
and a butler.
Anyway, so then we moved from this incredible place, which I think Justin Bieber had been at the week before with his entourage, to another hotel. Anyway, this hotel, back to a normal suite. Tom, our 12-year-old, much younger than, I think he was about 8 or whatever.
He was young, much younger.
He said, Mummy, Daddy, where's all the staff?
Oh my God!
So we were like, right, Tom, that's it. I'm afraid we've pushed it too far. We need to change this up a bit. So anyway, so the Easter holidays, we decided to go to a caravan park in Dorset. So we have had to obviously slightly balance the books occasionally.
Actually, I don't think we ever even needed to. You know, they would be so happy on a camping holiday.
Yeah.
And also because they've been spoiled, being going to all this, you know, things like camping holidays are just like wow to them.
It's fun. What's more worrying is we were on a trip to LA coming down Highway 1 and we had to stop off. There's a gap in between, I can't remember which bit, where there's no Smith Hotels. So we have a gap. So we had to stay in the Madonna Inn, which is
one of the best hotels ever.
But pretty much every year, the kids ask us, when are we going back to the Madonna Inn?
we have to tell people that are listening. So the Madonna Inn is like...
it's where Barbie and Ken were created.
If Dolly Parton was a hotel, she would be the Madonna Inn. Yes, it's prawn cocktails, it's pink carpets, it's crazy tiles.
It's extraordinary. But I just think to go there on holiday, that's a bit much.
Where are your kind of secret places around
we
the world?
We can't tell you,
like,
can we?
Yeah, no, you have to. Like, as in, like, your kind of, your little islands or the little cities that we might not know about or might not have been to yet.
Okay.
This is a trend. Everybody's kind of, and I think it's dangerous, really, to start talking about the kind of secret as well, because there's always more to discover in the kind of
world.
In the places we've been to before. So when you go back to Paris, you know, you don't go back to the most touristy areas.
Damn,
you
Paris
discover
is not a secret. Yes. Come on, dig deeper.
No. But you discover the arrondissement that you hadn't been to before. Mm. And so, you know, as promoters of tourism, it's always great to go back to places. But there are the new places that are coming up that are very exciting. Places like Georgia.
Yeah.
With that kind of brutalist architecture.
Is it Tisby? Is that how you say it? Is that correct?
Yes. Tbilisi. Yes.
Tbilisi.
Yes. Yeah, that's very up and coming. You know, in Portugal, it's all about Comporta and not so much the south of the country.
And Alentejo.
Alentejo, amazing, amazing
What's
places.
Barocal? How do you pronounce it? You say it much better.
São Lourenço do Barocal is one of our favourite hotels there.
Beautiful place, beautiful, beautiful place.
Oh, so what, do you know what someone just recently told me about that hotel?
Yes, it's a farmstead that's been in the family for generations and
lovingly restored,
and it's taken years to do it. And he and his wife are reintroducing all the things that were taken away over the years. So the stables have been reinstated, the pigs are coming back, the wine has been made, the olive oil. It's kind of putting it back to where it was, isn't it? And it's extraordinary as a place. It's even got the bull ring that he fought a bull, not killing bulls, just to be clear. On his 18th birthday there, a mini bull ring in your family pad. That's kind of cool, isn't it?
So
that's extraordinary. There's a really wonderful villa, which is owned by a famous person I won't mention, but you can stay there, in the most beautiful place up in Bahia called Trancoso. And there's a hotel there called
Where's
Ushua.
That? Where's Bahia?
Bahia is... northeast of Rio.
A couple of hours flight. And there's this little sort of village square they call the Quadrado, and it's framed by pastel hue coloured bungalows with little shops and restaurants in it. And then you've got a white church at the end, and you've got all the Brazilian kids out there playing football, and there's no cars because it's pedestrianised. And it's just freaking cool. And you walk down to the most unbelievable, endless beach with waves that are just big enough for you can body surf and not too big to scare the bejesus out of you. So it's really like my perfect beach with all the sort of beach hawkers running up and down, you know, but cool beach hawkers rather than the annoying ones. So it is amazing corn on the cob or some sort of
massas
or knitted gifts or whatever.
But what's lovely is around the Quadrado, all these pastel little huts, at night all the lights come on in the trees and twinkle, and there's food sellers.
Can we go now?
It's super cool. Yeah, it's really nice. And it's owned by the Hotel Ushua is owned by two great guys. One of them was the creative director for Diesel fashion right back in the beginning. So he was the creator of Diesel almost. And he's upcycled everything. So the way he's designed it is extraordinary and so creative and inventive and different.
He's designed every single piece of furniture in the hotel with local artisans. Yeah. They also have a training program for locals to come and work in the hotel. So they're really about the tourism in the area. And they've even set up an NGO to lobby government movement for more sustainable tourism in the area.
They support the local schools. They just do everything. So they've become like the heart of this community that they said to us when they found this place, they just fell in love with it and had to share it, going back to the sharing theme. Yeah. And that's a lovely thing. I think when a hotelier find somewhere that they are so passionate about that they want to make their life it and share it with others, then that's going to be special.
Yeah. There's another place a little bit like that that's brand new, only opening in the next couple of months, called Rescio in Umbria.
Yeah.
So thinking about alternatives, Tuscany, there's lots of beautiful hotels and incredible places, but Umbria is the one to watch as well for newness.
Yeah.
There's a place there called Castello di Rescio.
Your accent's amazing.
I know, it's good, isn't it?
Literally like, I couldn't even say that back to you.
When we're abroad,
English.
I just get her to do everything because I just sound like a real chump when I'm trying to do any sort of accent at all.
Yeah.
And even when she's ordering the butter or whatever, it sounds good. So it's awesome. It's kind of good. Yeah. It's really useful. But Rescio is on a 4,000 acre estate, I think.
Wow.
And we've stayed in one of their villas because that's all they've had up until now. They've, again, incredible villas, which they've all designed themselves.
But it's a working farm as well. And they're making
stables.
But they're thinking about the sustainability of it in a different way as well. So they want, because they've got such a big tract of land, they want everything to come from within that land as well. So they won't grow anything that isn't natural to literally that area.
From that area.
Obviously, everyone is trying to be more thoughtful in the way that they kind of fly. But how? What are ways that we can travel more sustainably from your point of view?
I think it is becoming a housekeeping thing for the hotels. And so making sure that you choose a hotel that really cares about the local community as well as just being sustainable and that puts back into the community they're in is really important. Mm-hmm. We're always interested in highlighting those hotels to our members. And some of the hotels are doing extraordinary things. Though we have one hotel who 100% of their profit goes back into the local community.
Wow.
It's incredible. And so a lot of the hotels now are putting in field to fork policies.
Yeah.
So the pigs here in the UK have something like a ridiculous 15-mile radius. Yeah. The Duchess in upstate New York is a 25-mile radius policy. So, you know, really, really being a part of that local community.
I think it's almost becoming, as Tam said, you have to have some sort of sustainability policy now as a hotel. Mm. But as a company, you're right. It's hard for us because we're encouraging people to travel. But the travel does bring money and bring much needed stuff
community.
To communities, exactly, and help sustain those communities. And how we offset is always a tricky one, and I think there's a murky world of offsetting out there which we're all still trying to work our way through. And it's great to see some of the airlines taking finding the bull by the horns and offsetting their carbon emissions for their customers.
Looking into new fuels is the critical thing for the airlines.
Exactly. So at Smith, obviously train travel is becoming a big thing. So how do we encourage more of that? Boats, maybe.
Yeah.
So slower travel is something if we all have time. If some of us have time, maybe some of our older Granny Smiths, as we fondly call them, have the time. They could do that for the world.
But tourism is creates jobs, opportunities, builds villages, communities. And I think sometimes as much as we should maybe travel less, it's about making those right choices when we get to the hotel.
Exactly.
Like, absolutely. What is the future of travel then? What are like our travel trends? Yeah. You mentioned trains and boats.
Yeah, I think boats are something that's going to hopefully get the next big makeover.
James is going to make it happen.
Yeah.
Cruises need a shake-up.
Yeah,
they do, don't they?
Of course
they do. My dad loves a cruise.
I think we're looking for cruises maybe a little more boutique, to bring that word back in because everyone understands it. We're looking for something that's a little bit more style-led probably. We're possibly looking for less cabaret shows in the way that they might do it, and possibly a little less on the crystal chandeliers and swirly carpets. So
yeah.
I think, we're looking for a hotel that floats, aren't we? We're looking for a Smith hotel that floats is what we want.
But I think that the interiors is a massive thing. I'm from Huddersfield. I've not been on a lot of boats unless it's a canal boat.
Shiny cushions.
Yeah.
Canal, but barging, now that. I'm
barging is
love
cool, guys.
Barging. Yeah, love
but
a bit of barging.
I think it's the interiors, isn't it?
It is, of course. If it's worse in your home to start with, or a bit, if it's moving towards the Madonna Inn, that's not where I want to be constantly because it will hurt my eyes. And so we have to somehow rein that in and get them to understand that, first of all, we need to get the aesthetics right. Then we need to bring in the right chefs to bring the right food propositions and the right wine and the right, all the bits that we like.
It is the sum of all the
parts. And then we've somehow got to do the bit that they're not successful in. It's like, I do not want to arrive on a bus with loads of other people. I want to arrive independently, like I would with the hotel. I don't rock up with everyone in a bus to, you know, the Newt Hotel. We go independently. We park our car or whatever we're doing, and then we get shown in and we feel like we're, you know, a couple. We're not part of a gang. I don't want to be part of a gang. Now, if I meet some people at the bar that I like and we, you know, strike up a friendship, then great. But I don't want to be put together with everyone at the beginning.
It's that forced.
It's that forced feel of being put together. So I've got to somehow work out how to keep my independency on a stylish floating vessel. That's what I need to do. And I think if we can crack all that, then we might be in. Because the idea of having a room with a view, which obviously your cabin should have, stopping off in amazing places going slowly, that sounds awesome, doesn't it?
It's like they do. I know that there's a postal boat that goes up around like the Nordic fjords, which sounds incredible, but you're saying, it's a lot slower travel. But what about the trains? Because I feel like I've seen a lot of articles recently about the Trans-Siberian train, the train up to around Scotland. I'd got the overnight Caledonia sleeper
to Edinburgh,
To Fort William,
I
think it's been redone now, but it was so much fun.
I agree. And we need
to
do that.
And of course, Eurostar goes to and from Amsterdam now. Train travel, we're just going to see more and more of, I think.
I think once they start employing the right interior designers and creators of the current boutique hotel movement, and I have heard this with cruising, they are starting to employ some designers that we all know the names of and stuff. I'm still waiting to see what it looks like at the end, or whether they've been controlled in any way, shape or form, which is what happens with big corporations often. But I think the idea of getting to places which can only be reached by boat is really interesting. And the scenery you see on a train trip is extraordinary. So what's not to love about it? It just needs to be modernised and brought into sort of a Smith way of doing things, I hope. And then that's what the future will be. And as Tam said earlier, when you're going to classic places, try to reimagine it and go off piste, you know, go down to different areas of a place that you've been to before, and try not to follow the tourist trail, you know?
How do you aside from Mr. and Mrs. Smith, because obviously you have a great collection of hotels, but how do you research holiday for the every person who's wants to do something different, doesn't have a massive budget? How do you get something bespoke, and where do you look? Is it Instagram or blogs or magazines? Like where could we start looking for interesting places to go away?
It is
Instagram
difficult.
Is a starting point of course. So many people now, and you know, Instagram can be the problem as well, because you see the nice areas without seeing the bad. I mean, there are so many stories nowadays. I don't know if you saw that post about Everest and the guy turned around. You saw the top of Everest, and then he turned the camera around. It was a video posted on Instagram, and behind him was a queue of about 200 people waiting.
Trying to summit.
I mean, there's a moment absolutely ruined because of overtourism. And so, you know, sometimes what you see is actually not what the reality is. And so I think it's about understanding who your trusted people are. Who do you trust? Who do you follow? Who can you rely on to give you the real insider guide? And that is about influencers that you follow who have a real reason to want to give you the inside knowledge, who don't just sell out to, you know, somebody who pays you the most amount of money, but actually curate who they work for, because obviously it's an industry as well. But it's about putting that trust in people.
But I would say don't compromise, you know, and I'm obviously going to talk our own but I wouldn't holiday anywhere unless it had been approved by someone like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. But if I didn't have the budget for that necessarily, I would travel off peak. I wouldn't travel in high season. I would wait until there are some offers, because all hotels do offers. I would look for flight sales always. So we always try and get cheaper flights or train tickets or whatever it might be. However you're going to get there as cheaply as possible. I would look at villas as well, where you can share the cost and make it much cheaper per room in places. So many hotels have villas now, so if you get a gang or two or three families or whatever it might be, you can suddenly halve your cost of a room. So try to think more cleverly about when you can travel, rather than just thinking that's too expensive for me. And actually we love, and when we set up Mr. and Mrs. Smith, it was not just about luxury travel. It really wasn't. It was about fantastic little pubs or restaurants with rooms, or, you know, we still like our, the hotel that won our Best Smith Hotel last year, Casa Fortunato in Lisbon, very reasonable, owned by a family who actually live within it, and it's the most amazing guest house, you know.
This and is, it's not expensive.
This is not like, you know, this isn't Six Senses Armand money, which again are amazing experiences. This is something far more in reach for people, and why not do it? Or do a little bit of Airbnb and do a bit of Smith for maybe the special occasion part, mix up some of your travel. But I wouldn't compromise. I wouldn't go to sort of naff deal sites and think, oh, that looks good, it's five stars, I'm going to get it for half price. There's a reason why it's half price in July or August, unless it's literally just launched and they are doing,
or you're booking about a year ahead,
or you're doing an early bird offer where they're trying to do that. You've got to think through it. If something's too good to be true,
it generally is.
It just is. So,
I think out of season is a really good tip, because I like to travel in May or September when the kids are still at school, because it's cheaper, you can get a better deal.
Exactly. Less crowds, it's just a better way to do.
Yeah.
Or start to go to secondary destinations. Don't go to the most popular ones. Go off the beaten track a bit more.
I mean, you guys are always hosted by other people because, obviously, of your job. Walladay, I'm just like, we're going to use that all the time now.
But who's
the host in your house? Who cooks, who entertains when you've got people coming over?
James cooks. I can't even boil an egg.
That's not true.
It's true. Our first day, I'm not being funny. So this is a true story.
No, you can't tell
One of our first weekends away, which was at a friend's little cottage in Wales, wasn't a hotel, which went well, actually, apart from when I woke up in the morning, I caught Tam on the phone to her best friend, whose cottage it was, getting instruction on how to scramble eggs. And I thought, oh, blimey, this isn't going to last. Are you serious? So I listened in so I just thought, I'll creep down. And she's like, so you crack the eggs? Yeah, like, then what? And I'm like, you are kidding. So I am literally laughing my face off in the background.
I cannot cook.
Hearing her with her phone clutched under her ear, trying to work out scrambled eggs. So anyway, so I took over all the cooking. Although, weirdly, she did seem to find some sort of cooking gene when we had the children, and they were obviously being all fed organic goujons or whatever. But when it's just for me, it doesn't seem to be any cookery skills at all. So I do question it a little as well.
Look, yeah. I mean, cooking, it's great. So James cooks, I sit there, we chat whilst he cooks, I help out, and literally, but it's like in work as well. So Mr. and Mrs. Smith, if you think about the way it sounds, the way it looks, the way it feels as a brand, it's all James. He is amazing at what he does. And
I'm going to cook for you again now. This is what she's doing. This is brilliant.
You throw her under the bus and she's literally praising you. I can't believe it.
And I help make it all happen in the background. And it's the same in cooking. It's the same at home.
Yeah.
If the kids need, you know, complaining about the Wi-Fi, it's Mum. You know, can you make the TV work? that's all me. So technology.
Weirdly, I'm the front end and she's the back end of the pantomime horse. That's how it works. Even though she's far prettier.
And you talk about technology, so front end, back end.
I've got an awful vision in my head, actually.
No, it's the front end and the back end. This is what we talk with tech teams, you see. So we are complete role reversals. I choose the wallpaper and she chooses all the tech gear. So it's a very different relationship. But that's why it works as well.
How does it work? I mean, how is it working as husband and wife? Do you fall
awesome.
Out?
It's awesome. It's amazing, isn't it? No, honestly, no, it is. We have a
it
brilliant
is
time.
It is good.
No.
So we share in the highs, which is amazing. We share in the lows, which can be tough sometimes, but it also comes from a position of total understanding. So if I get home at the end of the day and Jay says, you know, how was your day? And I said, I don't want to talk about work. He just knows. He understands where I'm coming from, you know, what's been going on in the business that day, probably why. And so there's no kind of friction there. I mean, sometimes, yes, we talk about work too much, but the kids keep us really grounded in that respect.
I love it because...
The kids who want staff.
Yeah.
Money!
Yes.
Yeah, exactly those, yeah. No, but I love it because, A, you get to... sharing the same experience every day. So I think that bonds you. It just can't not, really. And it's just really nice to be able to, as Tam said, understand what we've both been through.
Very few wives get to see their husbands in their element doing something that they're wonderfully creative at, and that's kind of cool, right? Yeah. That's amazing, and I get to see him do
and
that.
And you've heard Tamara's accent. I mean, you know,
that's it. Literally,
that's it for me as well. But no, but Tam is so much more. She's much cleverer than I am, and more academic, and really wrestles all the sort of technical side of the business, which I'm a complete Luddite with. Tam is brilliant at, and she has this natural infinity for it. And you know, it's so, you know, every day my mum always goes, "God, you married well. Well done." She does. She's like, "Oh, you did well there, James." I'm like, "I know, mum. What can I say?" So you know, and I know that. So that's why I cook for her all the time.
Finally, I always want to know, like, what's your favourite place for brunch, lunch and dinner
around the world.
Anywhere.
Singapore does brunch like nowhere else on the
planet. Really?
The Capella in Singapore
on the island, yeah. That's a brunch that you literally can't walk away from.
For breakfast, you'd have to watch the sunrise. We'd have to watch the sunrise somewhere on an east coast. Where would that be? Oh my god, there are too many places. you've asked the impossible question. And then for dinner, you'd have to do setting of the sun, post ranch inn.
Yeah. That'd be nice for
sun
dinner.
Setting
over California,
the
right?
California. Yeah, in restaurant. On good Big wine Sur. List. Oh my god, the wine cellar there is extraordinary.
Watching all the birds swooping around, and you're part of those cliffs because the structure is built out of
it's
the cliffs.
Nice, it is a nice
That's
restaurant.
That's pretty incredible. Okay. So I'd definitely dine there. Yeah.
Lunch?
Lunch. Where am I going for lunch?
Madonna.
Well,
for the pink cocktails.
Do you know what? My favourite lunch, and it's not a hotel, is just a rosé lunch in Ibiza on one of those sort of, our restaurant, like Estorrent or something. Yes. That would be nice, with a whole bass baked in salt with a few bottles of rosé. That would be nice.
A few bottles of rosé.
Wouldn't you like that? Yeah, I think that.
And maybe, James, me and you would get on.
Yeah.
What about Cashorque on top on the
in Mallorca.
Mountainous area
in
of Mallorca,
Dea. That's a pretty good
looking
one.
Out to see.
You see, you've got to start incredible. In there. Now we have this whole debate about where's best for lunch, breakfast and dinner.
Yeah.
But I love how excited and enthusiastic you are when you get to just talk about travel. Like, you guys come alive.
Oh, no,
brilliant.
I've got another one. Morokuru, watching the whales go by.
Oh, all right, stop trying to trump it now. Here we
That's
go.
That's it, I've done That's it. It. That's our lunch place. Morokuru.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you. That was really good
for
fun.
Us.
Thank you. Thank you for coming to our bedroom. It's
come on holiday
fun.
With us.
Yeah.
I'll come with you. I could definitely get used to stuff.
It's okay. James will cook.
This has been Hosting Laura Jackson, the host podcast. If you liked it, I really hope you did. Please rate and review. But most importantly, subscribe and tell all of your friends as well. Don't forget to join us next week for another cup of tea, a glass of wine, or maybe three tequilas on the rocks. Yes, please.